The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Everybody, welcome to another episode. Make sure you leave us a rating and review. I always enjoy hearing from you, so thank you in advance. And it just takes a moment. Very important episode today. Today, we're going to talk about five of the things that President Biden mentioned related to real estate in the State of the Union address, which just took place. And so I know a lot of you are feeling like real estate is just unaffordable, unattainable for you. So today I'll let you know if I believe any of the things that are being proposed will help with that. And I have a feeling that the last thing I mentioned might surprise you. So let's jump right into it. So first, President Biden is calling on Congress to pass a mortgage relief credit that would provide middle-class first-time homebuyers with an annual tax credit of $5,000 a year for 2 years. This is the equivalent of reducing the mortgage rate by more than 1.5 percentage points for 2 years on a median income and will help more than 3.5 million middle-class families purchase their first home over the next 2 years. So for those of you who do not know what a tax credit is, according to the IRS, a tax credit is a dollar-for-dollar amount taxpayers claim on their tax return to reduce the income tax that they owe. Eligible taxpayers can use them to reduce their tax bill and potentially increase their refund. So here's my thoughts on that first point. A tax credit, in my opinion, is not going to help anyone buy or keep a home. The reality of it is the median household income in the U.S. is about $75,000. At the end of 2023, the median home price was about $417,000. Keep in mind, I said the median household income is $75,000. For some of you listening, it might be more than that. But on a $75,000 income, that household could comfortably afford a property that's roughly $189,000. So do you see the problem that we're having here? There's an affordability problem in this country. And so to be honest, to me, it feels like putting a Band-Aid on the situation and really not fixing the affordability issue. I would like to also know, you know, where are these middle-class families he's talking about? You know, because a $10,000 tax credit is not going to help anybody in Los in LA, in the Bay Area, in New York City, in Miami, in Seattle, so on and so forth. Like, it's not going to help families in that in those markets, or really at all, if you ask me. So this does not address the affordability piece. So let's go to the next point. Many homeowners have lower interest rates on their mortgages than current rates. And by the way, everything I'm reading is from the White House website. This lock-in effect makes homeowners more reluctant to sell and give up that low rate, even in circumstances where the current homes no longer fit their household needs. The president is calling on Congress to provide a one-year tax credit of up to $10,000 to middle-class families who sell their starter home, defined as homes below the area median home price in the county, to another owner-occupant. This proposal is estimated to help nearly 3 million families. All right, so according to Redfin, 89% of people with mortgages have an interest rate below 6%, okay? A $10,000 credit is not going to help somebody sell their home who may have a 3, 4, or even 5% interest rate when they're pretty much guaranteed to buy a home that's way more expensive, even if it's the same type of home. The way that the home prices have run up since the pandemic has been astronomical in many places. And I can guarantee these folks are going, who will be selling, will be looking at buying a house that's way more expensive with a mortgage that's way more expensive. And interest rates, as of the recording of this video, were about 7% for a 30-year fix. So I don't see how that's going to help folks who have these low interest rates, especially since it's almost everybody who's below 6%. And the second thing is, I don't see anybody selling their home for less because they're selling to an owner-occupant, right? The reality of it is, like, when you're selling a home, you're trying to get as much money from whoever. You know, for most people, it doesn't matter who buys it. You just want the most money, right? And so I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But to me, that's the reality of it. And I think the tax credit of $10,000 is going to pale in comparison to the profit people can make, especially if they have equity. And a lot of folks have equity. The majority of homeowners who've had their homes for a decent period of time have a lot of equity. So I don't see the tax credit helping more than the profit somebody would make by just selling the home for as much money as possible. All right. So the next section is down payment assistance for first generation home buyers. So it says the president continues to call on Congress to provide up to $25,000 in down payment assistance to first generation home buyers whose families haven't benefited from the generational wealth building associated with homeownership. This proposal is estimated to help 400,000 families purchase their first home. Again, this doesn't address affordability, right? We are past the point of just needing a down payment assistance program. If you don't know already, I have a free down payment assistance guide, 10 down payment assistance programs and some bonus programs, which you can download. Link is in the description. Down payment assistance is great, but the problem we're having right now is so many people still would not be able to afford the mortgage. So I want you to ask yourself, look at the average home price or median home price in your area. If somebody gave you a free down payment, look at the estimated mortgage amount. Could you afford that? For many people, the answer is no, right? And so I don't think this helps with bringing the actual cost of homes down. In a lot of cities, I don't think these prices are sustainable. It's my opinion. And, you know, is it great that some people will get some down payment assistance and there's another down payment assistance program? Absolutely. But remember, this episode is about affordability, right? This doesn't address affordability of the actual mortgage, because that is, in many cases, the main problem. I can't afford the mortgage for many people. All right. This next section was just out of pocket. I almost laughed when I was reading it. I'm like, they can't be serious with this. So the next one is lowering closing costs for refinancing. So the Federal Housing Finance Agency has approved policies and pilots to reduce closing costs for homeowners, including a pilot to waive the requirement for lenders' title insurance on certain refinances. This would save thousands of homeowners up to $1,500 and an average of $750, and lower the upfront fees, and lower upfront fees. I can't read, golly, will unlock substantial savings for homeowners as mortgage rates continue to fall and homeowners are able to refinance. All right, let's just stop it right here. I don't know anybody who is refinancing right now. We just mentioned almost 90% of people who own homes have an interest rate below at 6% or less. Interest rates are about 7% now. Home prices have run up in the last couple of years. So I really don't know why somebody would refinance right now at a higher rate, which would increase their payment. It just doesn't make sense to me. And also, one thing they mentioned is people will save thousands of dollars on refinances up to $1,500, but an average of $750. So let's go with the average of $750. Let's put that into perspective. According to Freddie Mac, the average closing cost for a refinance is $5,000. Obviously, the size of your loan where you live impacts it, but the average closing costs are $5,000. So why in the world would somebody refinance at a higher interest rate for the possibility of saving $750,000? Is it also not making sense to you? Because it's not making any sense to me. I really don't get it. But that's my opinion. Curious to hear what you all think. Feel free in your rating and review to let me know what your thoughts are on what we're discussing so far. So we're almost done. Just got a couple points left to get through. All right. So the next section is tax credits to build more housing. President Biden is calling for an expansion of the low-income housing tax credit to build or preserve 1.2 million more affordable rental units. Renters living in these properties save hundreds of dollars each month on their rent compared with renters with similar incomes who rent in the unsubsidized market. The president is also calling for a new neighborhood homes tax credit, the first tax provision to build or renovate affordable homes for home ownership, which would lead to the construction or preservation of over 40,000 starter homes in communities across the country. So on the surface, this is a solid idea. I would be curious to know where they want to start with these 400K homes. That is the missing piece of information. So I'm wondering, is it going to be the Midwest? Is it going to be the South, Northeast? So I think the language is pretty vague. On the surface, it sounds like an interesting idea, but the language is just vague. It's not really telling me, okay, where would this happen? But on its face, on the surface, it does sound like an interesting idea at the very least. So let's continue with that section. The president is unveiling a new $20 billion competitive grant fund as part of his budget to support communities across the country to build more housing and lower rents and home buying costs. This fund would support the construction of affordable multifamily rental units, incentivize local actions to remove unnecessary barriers to housing development, pilot innovative models to increase the production of affordable and workforce rental housing, and spur the construction of new starter homes for middle-class families. So I think the good part of that section is removing the barriers to housing development. So in some cities, there's just way too much red tape. The process is way too difficult to get good projects off the ground. And it slows down the process, quite frankly, of filling the need and building housing. So I think that is a positive thing. And again, the problem I have is this language is so vague. So for the starter homes, for the middle class families, I'm wondering, where is this going to be? How do you plan to start it? That will be my push. Like, what does that look like in practice? It's very vague and I don't like vague language. All right, so I'm going to be completely honest with you all. I almost stopped reading when I started with this next section because it made no sense to me. And I think it hurts more than it helps. But again, you let me know what you think. So the next section, lowering costs for renters. So President Biden is also taking actions to lower cost and promote housing stability for renters. The White House blueprint for a renter's bill of rights lays out the key principles of a fair rental market and has already catalyzed new federal actions to make those principles a reality. So I actually had an opportunity to read through the majority of the Renter's Bill of Rights, and I think it'll actually make the landlord-tenant relationship more complicated than it already is. And it really doesn't seem balanced to me, to the point of, you know, trying to make it a win-win for the landlords and for the tenants. I'm also curious how much say the individual states have in the implementation of this renter's bill of rights, or how much is going to change the, yeah, that's the main thing I'm curious about. Cause you hear me talk about, or some guests I have talk about landlord friendly versus renter friendly states, things like that. And I'm wondering if what is inside the renter's bill of rights is going to be sweeping across the nation, or if states can basically judge like what they want to implement, what they don't. So again, this is about affordability. And overall, I don't think there's anything we've talked about today that is going to really help affordability. Most of it really isn't going to help at all. And I don't like how the language is so vague. And also, I want to clarify, this is not a political episode. This is not me telling you who to vote for, who not to vote for. I don't care who you vote for. That's your own personal choice. I just want to give my opinion on the real estate aspects of the State of the Union, because this is a real estate investing show. All right. So be encouraged. I know it's hard out there for many of you. Some of you may be experiencing layoffs and all sorts of things and challenges right now, but be encouraged, save your money and educate yourself as much as possible. Download one of my resources. Hopefully it will help you. I know it will help you. And ultimately, as you get closer to buying a property, if you find a good deal, if the numbers make sense, if the mortgage makes sense and it makes sense for whatever your exit strategy is, don't wait for something better. Just go for it. If everything is adding up, all right? Thank you all so much for taking some time to tune in. Definitely make sure you leave that rating and review. It'll literally take you like 5 seconds. So I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.